Okay. Yeah, I was reading those parables the other day.
Ah, amazing.
Yeah, they are. You know, and when you consider, you know, why Jesus Christ did that, why did he do that? He didn't do it to segregate and try and make some people feel more important than others. You know, it was based on desire. You know, his disciples desired to follow him. His disciples had a great desire to understand the things that he had for Israel, you know, to give to Israel as the Messiah. They believed he was the Messiah. They followed him because they saw something unique in his life at first. They didn't really know who he was. You know, they just said, you know, I'll make you fishers of men. That's what he told them. So follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. What the heck is he talking about? That sounds cool. It sounds a lot easier than fishing for fish. You know, but when he went out, when they followed him, when they made that effort to seek him out and to continue with him, that's what made the difference between what he was able to give them and what he was able to give everyone else. Everyone else, he wanted to give everyone everything that God wanted him to give. But there were those that wouldn't receive it because they didn't have the heart, the same heart, that same desire. So they couldn't receive. So he decided, well, you know, by revelation, this is, you know, God's will. He only did God's will. He only sought to speak God's word the way God wanted him to speak it. He never did his own thing. He never had his own plan. He never sat down at night and said, how am I going to reach this hard-hearted bunch? I know what I'll do. I'll speak in parables. Now, this was God's direction to him. This was God's guidance. God's game plan. This is how you do it. And he spoke, and then his disciples, eager to know, came to him. Well, what? Why are you always speaking in parables? We don't even get it. You know, because they didn't have the Spirit of God whereby they could understand the things of the Spirit of God, right? Like we know from Corinthians, the things of the Spirit of God come only, you know, they're foolishness to the natural man. And in order to really understand them, you have to have Spirit. We can understand the record of God giving his Son for the payment of sin, for God having him crucified as the penalty for sin for all mankind, and then God, once it was all done, God raising him from the dead. We can understand that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we can choose to either believe that God raised him from the dead or he didn't. We don't need Spirit to get that. Right? And once we get it, then we have the Spirit of God. Then we can begin to really understand all these things that God has for us. The things that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, of the things that God has prepared for them. Now we can begin to see it. Now we can begin to understand if we have a hunger, if we have a desire. If we don't have a desire, it's all like a big parable to us. Right? It's one body. Members in particular. It's just, I don't know, it's an analogy. I don't really get it. But no, we can understand it. We can see it. Because it is meant for us to understand. God wants us to understand. But these great things in the parables, you know, are given because of that one thing. Because God wanted Jesus Christ to speak of them that way. Because it takes a little bit of effort to come to that point of understanding. To come to that point where your rivers flow together. In all these things, not just the things, of course, that are given to Israel for them to know, which, by the way, he says, you know, he's doing this to fulfill the scripture in verse 35, that it might be fulfilled. This is why, you know, he did it, which was spoken by the prophet saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world.
Wow.
These things regarding the parables that he spoke to Israel were things that they were part of the things that God had kept secret about what the Messiah would eventually and ultimately accomplish.
Wow.
Now, none of those things point to the mystery because that wasn't yet revealed. But there were things within these things of the parables of the kingdom of heaven that pertained to things that God had just kept secret. that he would ultimately fulfill. So those are great things. And it, and when you see that, it's kind of like, wow, I do want to understand these things. I do seek to understand. I do have a desire to understand the things that God has prepared for us. And when we have that desire, we'll be filled. We will be filled. Right? He that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. Shall be. It's an absolute. It's just about desire. It's not what you have to do other than just desire. And, you know, I was thinking in light of that, in Galatians, there's this great section in Galatians that, you know, contrasts the difference between the things that were available to people under the law and the things that are available to us under grace, and how to receive them. You know, by the law, you know, there was a multiplicity of things that people had to do, obey to carry out all these laws, right? And yet none of them, every individual proved to fall short of it. But now with grace, we can receive all that God has for us because it requires no work. It just requires our faith, our desire in our heart to receive them fully and to really see and to come to a full knowledge, a full understanding of the grace of God and the things that He has provided for each of us. And that we really do have a great calling. You know, that we have been called not just to be saved, you know, which is for all eternity, which we have. We've been given by grace. But we've been called to make the Father known in our day, just as Christ, as the only begotten Son of God, made the Father known in His day. We make that known. And the only way we can do that is by seeking first a relationship with Him by way of that Spirit that we have within us. Because that's our connection. Our connection to God is not out in the woods. It's not out on a lone island somewhere. Our connection to God is ever present within each of us. It is when and wherever we are. Every moment of every day. No matter where we find ourselves, no matter who we're with, we have a connection with our Heavenly Father. And we're to seek that relationship first. That's where the fullness of joy comes. Our relationship with God. Certainly not our relationship with people, because that can be defeating and discouraging at times. But our relationship with God is always one of a son or a daughter with Him. It's always one in His presence. That's our relationship with Him. We are free to come in and out of His presence at any moment, at any time. And we are free to do that. And we have the ability to do it because we have that Spirit of God dwelling within us. It dwells within us. And when we make use of that Spirit that we have, first, it's about our relationship with God. Then it's about our relationship with other people. In Galatians 5, Galatians 5, you know, verse 1 says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." You know, we are not under bondage to anything or anyone. We have complete liberty in Christ because we are now made the righteousness of God in Christ. And as righteous as it is possible to be, we are. And so this makes us free. We are at total liberty. And now we have the choice to seek those things that we desire to seek. Whatever it is that we seek, whatever it is we desire, we can seek out. We're at liberty to do it. You know, God has not only made us righteous, He still continues to give us the freedom of will to do whatever we want with that. You know, He's put His Spirit within us It's our choice. Do whatever you want with it. You want to use it? It'll delight my heart. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to use it, it's still there for you when you're ready. That's the heart of God. He'll never take it away. He's given it to you. It's a gift. You know, what child has ever given their father a gift? Or what father has ever given a child a gift? Or what individual has ever given anyone a gift? And then come and say, so how do you like that gift that I gave you? Well, you know, to be perfectly honest with you, it's still in the box. I haven't used it. Oh, well, okay. That's usually the response, right? Because you gave a gift. You wanted to give someone a gift. You don't turn around and look at the person and say, well, geez, if you don't, then give it back to me if you're not going to use it. No, nobody ever does that. Not unless they really got their heads stuck really in a place where it shouldn't be. You know? I mean, we don't. We give a gift, and it's that person's freedom to do whatever they desire with it. It's the same with God, even greater, because God gives us his gift with great love and great grace. Great mercy generates that desire for him to give. So, you know, like it says, you know, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. He never changes his mind, and he knows full well what we're doing with them. He knows, but he still says, I gave it to you. I'll never change my mind why I gave it to you. I'll never change my mind what it's for. It's yours. And having it gives us great liberty. But there's that constant conflict, right? In verse 17 says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, the spirit against the flesh. You know, they have different desires. Lust is just desire. That's all it is. You know? That's all it is. It's just, what is your desire? You know, it's like the parable of the sower, right? It fell on that one ground which the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. Choke it. Choke the word, and we become unfruitful. So that when we desire, when we allow our flesh desires to take preeminence over the Christ in us and that desire that Spirit has within us, the new man nature, there's a conflict. There's always a conflict. Always a conflict. So what do? We choose to walk by the Spirit. Because if we don't, then we can't do the things that we really would like to do. Verse 17 finishes up. But if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The works of the flesh, that's all the flesh can do, is all those, you know, ultimate, you know, crummy, profitless things. And there's no reward, there's no inheritance in the kingdom of God for any of that stuff. And then verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Who doesn't need any of that? Who would not like to walk being filled with those things? Because there's no law against those things. No one's ever going to look at you and say, stop being so loving. It offends me that you love me. It offends me that you're so patient with me. I am just so totally upset at your goodness. No one's ever said that. No one ever will. There's no law against any of that thing, any of those things. And yet it's a fruit of us desiring to use what God has given to us and seek those things that God has given to us. It just is a byproduct of that desire. When we seek to put on Christ and not our old man nature, when we seek to speak in tongues often and praise God perfectly and speak the wonderful works of God and change our very physical bodies by it, you know, that spirit that dwells in us is a life-quickening spirit. It changes our physical bodies. It does. It quickens us. If that same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in us, how can it not quicken our mortal body? If we expect that, that would be in the category of miracles, I'm sure. I mean, we should expect it every day. Right? We should expect to, you know, mount up with wings as eagles and run and not be weary and walk and not be faint. Because by Him, we can leap over a wall. We can run through a troop. You know, these are things that God has said we can have and we can live. You know, but they don't come of our own doing. They just come because we desire them. Because I just want this in my life. You know, it's like what Patty was saying. You know, I wake up hungry. Hungry for what? Not for, you know, coffee and donuts or cold pizza. Right? We wake up desiring for the life that God has said we can live. And it isn't by the works of our flesh. It's by the desire of our heart to seek Him out first, to endeavor to be led by His Spirit and not by our old man nature, which is stupid, dumb, idiotic, selfish, and just, and we've proved it over and over again to ourselves. I mean, you know, I don't have to prove it to anyone else. You see it in my life all the time. But I have proved it to myself, and that's the important thing. I've proved to myself over and over again that my old man nature does nothing for me. It never gets me anywhere.
Amen.
It always just puts me in a bind all the time, in trouble. You know? Not only with God, but with people. So, what do I seek then every day? I seek to be led by the Spirit of God that dwells in me. And that Spirit that dwells in me drives me to want to be more Christ-like. Drives me to want to walk where He walked, in His steps. Because He's the only man that any of us really and truly want to follow. You know, we submit ourselves to one another as we speak the truth. You speak the truth to me, I'll submit myself to that. I speak the truth, I would pray that you would submit yourself to it. But really and truly, the only man that we ever really want to emulate is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because He showed us who we really can be if we seek with our whole heart. He showed us who we can be as who God has made us as His sons and daughters. So He's the one that we seek. He's the one that we desire. And I don't have to go to a monastery to do it. Praise the Lord. There's no fun in monasteries. Unless you're one of the monks that make beer. Those guys, I'm sure, have a lot of fun. Maybe not. I don't know if they're allowed to drink the beer. But you know what? Even if they're not allowed to, they better be. They make some good beer.
Mine too.
But you know, seriously. We have this relationship with our Heavenly Father. And that's what we seek. You know, that prevents the hard-heartedness. Because it continues, we continue to have fruit of the Spirit. We continue to see it more and more in our lives. And it is when we are really in harmony with our Heavenly Father, when we're having that relationship with Him, that we find ourselves more loving. We find ourselves able to forgive easily. It's easy. It's when we have walked away from our relationship with God and we're just doing our own thing, just me, myself, and Irene, where we lose the ability or the willingness to forgive and to see the Christ in others, to see that none of us are who we are because of our own work. We are who we are as sons and daughters of God, because God has shown His grace and His favor to each of us. And so what a great blessing to continue to dwell in those things. And seek that relationship with our Heavenly Father first and foremost. Because then our relationships with other people, regardless of where they're at, will be a lot easier to deal with. they'll either be very fulfilling and rewarding, where iron sharpens iron. So, you know, we sharpen, we enlighten the countenance of a friend. Or they'll be, you know, they'll be a little challenging. But we will have the patience. We'll have the temperance. We'll have the meekness and the humility to look past it. To look past it. You know, how many times do you think the Lord Jesus Christ had to look past the immaturity of his disciples? Let's put it nicely. Let's euphemize it. The immaturity, the lack of spirituality, perhaps, at times. And yet he saw in them their desire, their heart. And he said, you know, I'll continue to teach you. You know, he didn't just offer that explanation to them. They asked, so he gave it to them.
Yeah.
Great, great things, you know, for us to remember. Because we do endeavor to walk as God has called us to walk. Right? That's what verse 25 says. If we live in the Spirit, if because of this Spirit we have life, then let's just walk in it also. Let's walk in it. So, okay? So that's what I wanted to share with you guys this morning. So let's pray and we'll hear some manifestations, all right? So Father, we sure are grateful for your love and your grace and for having called us and for setting us completely free. Father, we're grateful that you have done it all by your grace, your mercy, and your goodness. Thank you, Father, for this fellowship and for the way you continue to open the eyes of our understanding and the way you continue to open great doors for us to make you known. The more and more we understand of you, Father, that we go and we endeavor to share that with others as you open the door for us. But Father, thank you for these things. Thank you for the great ability that you have given to each of us via that Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for the way it is so easy to walk in it, to manifest it day by day, and to do the things that you've called us to do and the things that you've prepared for us to do. And Father, thank you for making it as easy as desiring and seeking it.